Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other fine geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com.
What's up, everybody? Hey, welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. It's been a long time since you've heard all of our voices, so you might not remember who you are, who we are. I am your stupid awesome analyst, John Starr, and with me is the hard man with hard opinions, Andrew, AFLM.
Hi. Hello.
Our king baby duck, Evan.
Good to one, my bastards and wenches.
Security guy, Greg, who's on the phone.
Security guy, David. Sorry, my family member called me, and I need to assist them, but I am still here.
Oh, that was the buzzing that I heard. Okay. Yes. And Elite Four Derek.
Hi.
So we decided that we wanted to do a recording because we hadn't seen each other's faces in a long time. We legitimately all haven't gotten together like this since. And Greg's walking away. He's gone. He's gone. He's walking away.
Look, if your family member isn't dying, he can wait. All right.
We have not been together like this with each other since the end of our last recording. So
this, we just want to make this a point that this is not the wikis.
Yeah, we've actually talked about this on our little chat thing, but we decided since I was the one who watched all the anime and the other guys didn't, there'd be no really good way of doing the wikis.
I haven't watched anime legitimately in about 2 years, unless it's a Gretzko, which we'll talk about probably, because I watched that this year.
And it got announced for a fourth season.
Yeah, thank God.
There's plenty to talk about, though, because, well, one, we want to catch up with each other, and that's one important aspect of this. But there's a ton of really awesome stuff that's happened this year that, well, we think is awesome. Hopefully you'll think it's awesome too, but yes. Maybe it's just awesome that you're hearing our voices, and in which case, you know, who cares what we talk about?
Look, I don't know what's going on out there in the world today, but I had a great year. I'm just saying, yeah. Like, my year was awesome. So
as much of a shit show the outside world was,
everybody's like, oh, was good. Everybody's like, oh, 2020 is so bad. This year is like, stop complaining. What are you, five? Go to bed. It's 9:30.
So there have been plenty of movies, video games, TV shows, all that kind of stuff that we want to talk about, and we also got some cool stuff for Christmas too, I bet, and Hanukkah. If you did, anybody see Hanukkah? I got Hanukkah gifts, but
my roommate did, but not me.
Cool. The first thing that I want to bring up is we talked about it a little bit before the show, but I got this little emulator Game Boy thing. I don't know if people have seen these online before being advertised, but they look like Game Boys, and they have 400 emulator ports on them, and they play so seamlessly on here. It's like it weighs less than a pound, maybe less than a half a pound,
and they come from the same place as coronavirus.
Probably. And I found out when I showed everybody that Derek has one too.
Yes. Mine is 500, actually. I just figured that out.
That's 500 games?
Yeah.
Well, Jonathan technically only has like 350 games.
Yeah, I get like the last 50 are repeat games.
They're just the same games.
Yeah, your wife is a cheapskate for not going for the 500.
I don't know if I love the translation errors more or extremely corny music.
My favorite game bag. So they're all NES games, by the way. I'm pointing out the camera to people. What's that?
and the fact that there are duplicates.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. But like they're all NES games from back in the day. And like my favorite game that reminds me of home was Kicky Mouse. Like that was my favorite one. Also Challenge, which is challenge without the E on the end of it. Mortal Kombat 4 was one of my favorites to look at because I started playing Mortal Kombat 4 for the NES. And it turns out that there is a roster of looks like 32 characters on it for the Game Boy or for the NES.
But and there's like repeated roster characters.
Yeah. Yes. All 8 of the original characters are repeating over and over again. And no, when you
those
select
the original.
Yeah, yeah.
Cop Dude wasn't in the first one.
Yeah,
oh, yeah, you're right. They're from, so they're
a lot
from
of, three. Those are all Mortal Kombat 3 characters.
Yeah, actually, yeah, you're right. Well, anyway, if you pick one, I'm gonna be Liu Kang. So I'm gonna pick Liu Kang, right? And then it asks me to pick my opponent, and I'll pick Nightwolf. Nightwolf is the first character, so I'm gonna pick Nightwolf. And it says that Nightwolf is who I'm fighting on the top here, but I'm fighting Shao Kahn, the final boss in the game, and he's murdering me.
Every single character is Shao Kahn.
Every single character that you play is Shao Kahn. Yeah.
So it's a Mortal Kombat for those who want to skip to the end and don't want to deal with the other 12 fighters beforehand.
Arguably the least fun part of Mortal Kombat.
In NES graphics, because Mortal Kombat 3 was never actually ported. Well, no, so Mortal Kombat 3 was ported to the Game Boy, but I think that was probably the Game Boy Advanced. Maybe there was a Game Boy Color version. There had
no,
to
Game
a Game
Boy,
Boy
Color.
Color.
It was Game Boy Color because this and, is way before the Game Boy Advance.
So, yeah. So that's kind of what it is. Basically, Mortal Kombat 3, but they just kind of fudged the roster and reported the game to just fight Shao Kahn, which is hilarious.
And my other favorite game on here too is, of course, Super Mario Brothers 14, which.
It just says Mario 14.
It says Mario 14, but Super Mario Brothers 3 is also on here too, though, which is pretty good. But Mario 14, I didn't know if you knew this, but Mario is now a ninja and can do wall jumps and stuff like that. And I found out it's a port of a completely different game, almost in the same way that they did Super Mario Brothers 2.
Yeah,
but this Mario 14 is a port of a different game, and they just superimposed Mario's face over a ninja. Look at that.
Now that's making me think. Like, have they ever had like a Mario game where he is a ninja or a shinobi or something like that? Even if it's just like a costume.
I don't think so. Yeah. Well, yeah. Mario 14. It's legit. Yeah. You know? but this thing is super fun. It is so much fun because like the ports are like. Perfect. You know, yeah. I actually do have Mario Brothers 1 on here. I have Contra. I got Tetris 2. And like they all work perfectly. So I'm actually really happy with it. I have it in my pocket at all times.
Mario gets a little complicated though, because they reverse the B and the A buttons.
That's
so
true.
I keep forgetting each time and I just keep like running headlong into Goombas.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
To be fair, that's what happens to me whenever I switch between playing a game on the Switch on the and then on the Xbox One, because all their buttons are all reversed too. So it takes me a bit for me to really readjust myself.
Yeah.
Oh, I got Harry Potter.
You do? Where? What number? Just out of curiosity, what number? Let's see if I have it.
Let's see. 337.
Okay.
Was that like a disco version of the theme song?
I got Fist of the North Star. Oh man, it's like it's legitimately Fist of the North Star. Look.
Nice.
Forget it. Hooked on no Ken.
Is this like a rip-off Game Boy that you have?
Yeah. Yeah. They both have rip-off Game Boy emulators.
Whoa.
And actually they're not just Game Boy, they're Nintendo. Mm. So it's all Game Boy games and Nintendo games.
This is legit. The guy's actually like break in half and stuff.
And then I think I have that for my because I have every single emulator on my computer. I actually just recently got a PlayStation 3 emulator on my computer.
Which really?
Yeah. So there's a new emulator called RPCS 3, and it's basically the PS3 engine, because I have the PSP emulator on my computer, and it's in a similar way you can run the PS3 emulator, but this one's only an alpha, so the PS3 emulator is right now really unstable. Like, it freezes all the time. It's basically unplayable at the moment, but it's been out for 2 years. So unfortunately I'm still waiting for it to be good, but I got it running on my computer and I can run PlayStation 3 games for at least 15 minutes before they crash. So I've been trying to play White Knight Chronicles because my PlayStation 3 is broken. It's been broken for at least 2 years now, which is really upsetting, because I found out it was broken when I wanted to play White Knight Chronicles again. So I got White Knight Chronicles on my computer, and I can run it through the character customization, but then after I get into the actual gameplay of it, it crashes entirely.
So do you like have to quickly save?
No, I can't even quickly save, because it doesn't even load. Ooh. Like, it doesn't go past the character creation. After you create your character, game is busted. So, but what you can do is you can get a thumb drive, put it onto your PS3, and take the save files off of your PlayStation 3, and insert them to your computer and just run the save files on the emulator, so you can load your save files onto this emulator and load your games in.
That just sounds like a lot of work.
It's really not. You're literally just copying files over to your computer.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
I actually used to do that with fan subs. I used to be able to load up the fan subs I used to download and put onto the PlayStation 3 and watch them that way. I actually watched B Got to HK that way. You know, your favorite anime, Andrew.
Yeah, it's a good anime to steal. Though, granted, all anime is good to steal now. What a different attitude that we had from, like, 5 years ago on Wicked Anime. Just like, just steal everything. Who cares?
I just love the seriousness in Andrew's face when he said that. And I would.
Oh, it's because I'm also drawing. Like, I forgot. I often forget that my camera is on and I'm just working while we're doing this podcast because... You know, I'm a comic book artist now. Mm-hmm. So page 227 is what I'm working on. Here, I'll bring the camera down.
Was wondering, Harry Potter was literally just Tetris.
Oh.
with a picture of a wizard.
Well, wait, can you go into this? I want to hear this.
I wonder if your Harry Potter was, I have a game on here just called Falling Blocks. And it's kind of like Tetris, but the blocks can be any shape or size. So, like, it's not shapes of five.
Yeah, at the beginning of mine, it gave me an option of three different sets of bricks to use. Like the original ones, then ones that were more, like, broken up.
Mm-hmm. Wizard block.
Hufflepuff, Gryffindor, and Slytherin.
Literally no mention of anything Harry Potter aside from the fact that there was a picture of a wizard next to the playing area.
wait, Evan, what about Ravenclaw? What happened to that?
Yeah. Which is weird, because I am considered Ravenclaw in Harry Potter lore.
Same.
They've actually forgot that.
Yeah, I think it's the coolest house, man. Oh, it's just me.
It's the academics, the ones who are actually going to be good at magic.
Mm-hmm. In an attempt to not talk about Harry Potter lore,
yeah, let's see.
What should we move on to? Seeing that we don't want to turn this show into our cheap knockoff Game Boy show, I guess.
Oh, I know.
We could talk about all 400 games that we get to emulate on those, but you know.
Yeah, and then Derek can cover the last five or the last 100.
Yes.
No. We should play. We should play the game. What did Greg have for lunch?
Oh, I love that game. Let's go. All right, I'll give you if you guys are down, I'll tell you where I went.
Okay. No, first we have to.
I'm guessing it's Chili's.
Yeah, I'm guessing Chili's too.
No, well, I did not go there.
Okay, so then there's now the world is literally open to hundreds of restaurants.
Papagino's?
No, it is not a chain restaurant. It is a local restaurant in Quincy. I'll give you that one.
I know jack shit about this, so I give.
Oh, I'm almost positive you have told me the name of where you've been.
Yeah, so I went with my grandmother today. So I don't, well, I don't know how that would help you guys. I thought maybe I mentioned it in the past.
The food, okay, so we're looking for geriatric food.
It's not geriatric food.
Did you have brown rice and buttered potatoes?
No.
Tapioca pudding.
And a cool glass of prune juice.
Oh my God.
Then grandma went for a nap afterwards.
Well, we have to think about where, because like literally anywhere in Quincy is open, because like the size of Greg plus with an old lady, there's zero chance of them getting stabbed anywhere. So... So they can go anywhere. So,
all right. So I'm going to narrow the scope down. It's by the Four River Bridge.
Did you go to the Fours?
No. Good guess, though. It's kind of like the Fours, though.
The Five. Like same...
Yeah, the Five. No.
Go fish, Evan. Go fish.
It's like that restaurant is very close to the Four River Bridge, if you guys know that area, where like the USS Salem is.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Did you go to that lobster restaurant?
No, it's a little further. How do I say this? It's not across the bridge, but it's like back, like down the main strip Dairy Queen is. And if you go down, the restaurant's like just another minute or so drive. It's like, it's right there. I know you guys
I know exactly what the area is, but I have no clue as to what.
It's not Pizza Hut anymore.
Oh, I miss Pizza Hut so bad.
It was the only one that we had.
Is just the worst.
No, there's worse pizza.
It's nostalgia because I went there all the time as a kid.
All right, what's the restaurant?
All right, Coop's Bar and Grill.
Nah, I've
been to Coop's. Coop's is so good,
dude. I love about to tell you what I had, but that's the game.
Oh, wait a minute. It's Wednesday. Did they have the prime rib?
I don't know, but I didn't get the prime rib.
Okay. Man, their menu is like incredible.
Yeah, the chicken.
It's very good. I did not have the chicken. By the way, what's like, who do I have to give a prize out if somebody guesses this, or like, how are we doing this?
Hell no.
No, we just have to listen to your belly gurgle.
That was a story that wasn't recorded, Andrew. So.
Yes, I know it wasn't, but
and I wasn't here for that story.
And probably will never hear the reference to it because I don't want to embarrass whoever that was. What?
Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't embarrass them. I just didn't. I don't want to like tell their story.
Mm-hmm. Was it about me? Like, because my belly like gurgles a lot.
No, Greg. I told you the story last night. Remember when we were playing Siege? Me and I was telling Will.
Yep.
About it. Mm-hmm. It's Solarian Sun related.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Belly gurgling and such, and fur affinity.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So keep guessing what I had today. It's a common food item, like.
Fish?
Chicken.
No. It was cow related.
Depression pills.
A burger.
It was a burger mixed with depression pills. Yeah.
You said common food today, so you know most people would just like eat that cereal like depression pills.
With a bowl of milk, yeah.
Exactly. Mixed with your all brand.
It was not a burger, Derek. You were close.
So was it steak tips?
It was steak tips. Now what did I have for my two sides?
Mashed potatoes?
No.
More steak tips.
Double side order of fries.
One of them was an order of fries. They were sweet potato fries.
You said sweet potatoes?
Sweet potato fries, yeah. Oh,
okay. The other one is either broccoli or asparagus.
No. No, I wish they had asparagus.
Oh, dang it.
Oh, I love asparagus.
Every time I go out to lunch with you, that's what you get. It's broccoli or asparagus.
Well, because they serve that at Chili's, but not at Coop's. What other vegetable might I like?
Corn?
Congratulations. Evan wins.
It sounds like all of us get to listen to your belly gurgle. we all contributed like in a way that was correct.
That is correct.
Lay yourself down, Greg. Here we go.
That's what the listeners want to hear.
Interestingly enough, you ate the corn and now your stomach sounds like Jonathan Davis.
That is oddly specific, Evan. Have you done this before?
I actually have. I was known in high school to do a really good impersonation of Jonathan Davis from Corn.
And all I would do was that, but everyone knew that, yeah, that's what John the Dangerfield
does. That's what he sounds like.
Do the core thing. Boom.
Dear listener, if you want to like skip ahead in this and not listen to corn gurgling, go ahead.
Corn gurgling. Oh my gosh! I think that's if we're doing title episodes. Still, that's the title of the episode. Yeah.
Better a corn gurgle than a corn scat.
Oh, ew. Oh. That joke has layers.
Yes. It does.
Oh, an ogre has layers.
That joke is like an ogre because it's like onions because it has layers.
And it stinks.
It's like scattered at that.
Wow, this joke is like has so many layers. Ew. Jeez. So now that we're not doing the wikis this year, I know everybody's disappointed. Do we at least want to get into some best and worst conversations? I guarantee you that if we start talking about best and worst stuff, it'll drag into just conversations about whatever the heck we're talking about.
What's so wrong about that?
Oh no, that's what I'm talking about. We can just have awesome flowing conversations about the best and worst of the.
I gotcha.
I agree.
We don't have any news, so let's just do obligatory news belt chan.
Oh wow! Hey, what's happening, girl?
I got some news. Tim Belushi is going on Twitter asking for anime suggestions.
Who?
Yeah. Jim Belushi.
Okay. Yeah.
I just say Agretzko. Agretzko is like Agretzko is super easy to watch.
The more accessible of the Belushis.
Oh.
It's been 36 years, dude.
And I'm still not over it.
Well, don't do drugs.
Yeah.
I'm also wondering which series to watch while smoking weed, too. So he's probably having a really good quarantine right now.
So if he wants good anime to watch while smoking weed, probably The Night of Short Walk-On Girl.
I have that on my shelf, and I still have not watched it yet.
What about that weird show that got released on YouTube that we were watching, the Vlad Love or something like that?
Oh, Vlad Love, yes. So, like, the first episode of that. I know the full series is going to start in February, but, you know, I have high hopes regarding this because it's, you know, it's, what's his name? The guy who did Ghost in the Shell. But it's also got people who worked on Urusei Yatsuru, Ranma 1/2, and even a few other Rumiko Takahashi series. So
yeah, honestly, like I watched it and it definitely felt like that Ghost in the Shell fever dream, but I honestly just hated it. Like I was like, what is this even? Like, what is this show supposed to be? And it was just weird. And the art was weird and the animation was kind of bad. And I was just like, This show doesn't make any sense. I understand what it was going for as far as humor, but it was just weird. That was definitely like, you should probably smoke something before watching this show because you might enjoy it that way. Because the humor was odd. Like, the humor wasn't great. It was just strange. And I don't know. I enjoyed the character designs, I guess. But as far as like a series goes, I was like, I'll probably pass.
Yeah. Or in my case, you do an edible like this.
Oh, now we can't show this on YouTube.
Oh, geez. Oh, gosh. Man. Oh, geez.
Oh, man. But that was definitely an interesting anime watching experience after only having watched Agretzko since the year started. Because that kind of jumped me back into anime and was just like, oh, man, yeah. That's why I'm not interested in anime all that much anymore. Like, because it fell into a lot of tropes that I didn't really enjoy as far as anime went, I guess. But I also am still really eager to continue watching, one, Danmachi. Two, I really want to watch Reconnect, because that is, like, all over the internet.
So, season 3 of Danmachi is fucking amazing. Like, yeah. I was blown away by the third season, not even expecting the kind of story it was telling. It's one huge arc for all 12 episodes, by the way.
Yeah.
And the way they did it, it like it pulled me in ways that not even the first season pulled me into Danmachi. And I loved the first season of Danmachi. Season 2 was okay, but this third season showed just how good and how serious of a story Danmachi can be, while at the same time still delivering the goodness that we've all come to love of the adventures of Belcrano, Hestia, and the rest of the gang.
Of all their naked ladies.
Well, that's the thing. There really wasn't that much fan service in this season.
Oh, interesting.
Actually, barely. I think only the first couple episodes. And then after that, it like got serious. Like
dark skin anime Amazon girls exist. That's enough fan service for me.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and
Greg shaking
their part, his head. Their part in this arc proved that Tiona is the best girl, right?
I believe so. Whichever one's flat chested, I believe that's
her. Tiona. She had proven herself to be the best girl of Danmachi in this third season, and you'll understand why when you watch it.
Hey, I've known that since forever that tomboy dark skinned girl is always the best.
Oh, you and I have known. I don't think the rest of the world knows.
You must know.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so there's a couple anime on my list that I do really still want to catch up on. Mm-hmm. But I've still been reading a lot of manga. Like I've been reading I literally just finished the new volume of Monster Musume, which came out this week. Volume 16 got released. And Monster Musume is one of those series that's just like, man, I really wish you would just end or follow a story or end. Because the whole entire arc, the entire last volume and the entire current volume were arcs of the story that didn't progress any actual story. They were just events that happened to the characters. So a lot of it's filler. Basically, the entire thing is filler, but I really want some sort of story that I can read for Monster Musume. Because otherwise, all it is just boob gag humor. That's literally all the story is. And
see, like, I've kind of noticed that was happening with Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs.
Yeah.
But mm-hmm. I noticed in the last couple of volumes that they have been sticking to some sort of storyline, especially when it comes to Yuna's origins.
Yes, yeah.
So at least there's that.
Yeah.
Because I've heard that Monster Musume kind of goes off the rails as to what it wanted to do in the first place.
Yeah, it's a little strange at the moment. And luckily it only comes out once a year at this point. So I don't really have to, you know, feel like I'm wasting money by buying one volume a year. Because mm-hmm. I've been reading We Never Learn and Promise Neverland regularly. Yeah. And Yuna and the Haunted Hot Springs when it comes out. Those are the only three I'm really reading. But that's kind of where all my anime intake comes from is reading manga. Because after working on a computer all day, it's much better to read a book before you go to sleep mm-hmm. to kind of calm your brain down a little bit.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Greg, you have a question?
I do, but I didn't want to like derail the conversation too much because you were talking about shows ending soon. Because, Evan, didn't you share an article with us in our chat about Cells at Work is ending soon?
Yes, so Cells at Work is coming to an end, and the last chapter is going to be dealing with the coronavirus.
Oh, okay. That just got real quick.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be like, spoiler alert, this is where it turns into Cells at Work Black.
Is this where, like, the coronavirus just kills, like, the body that they all inhabit in the show?
Well, that's the joke, because Cells at Work Black is the story of cells within a disease-ridden body.
Oh, well, poor guys. They had never stood a chance.
Poor platelets.
Mm. They're so cute. How do you kill off child platelets?
I mean, I don't know. Have you watched Higurashi before? They kill off plenty of children in that show.
Yeah, but then they restart.
They restart. They do. They just reload checkpoints.
They do. True. which I've been watching the new Higurashi series, and it's really good. I mean, I'm coming into it as someone who's only seen like handfuls of the episodes of the original, but you know, I feel like it's getting the tone right of the original Higurashi pretty well.
Yeah.
And even though they kind of slightly censor the gore for TV version, they're probably going to have it uncensored on the Blu-ray version.
Certainly.
It's still pretty damn violent.
Nice. I like my violence.
Mm-hmm. I was, during the quarantine and stuff like that, Andrew introduced me to Tubi.
Yeah.
And a really great free service, free streaming service, if anybody's interested in finding some really obscure movies and also some really obscure anime. So I actually went through their anime list to find anything that might be like hardcore anime related. And there were things that were close, but not perfect. So I watched one. It was a movie called Lily Cat. And it was
Lilycat.
It was legitimately just an anime copy of the original Alien film.
Huh.
Wow.
Like, I mean, like, there were differences. There were story differences, but at its heart, the skeleton of it was Alien.
It was Alien.
Yeah. and far less less gory and like the disappointment was there for that one. Like the animation was of that OVA era of like Violence Jack and all those films that came out back in the day. Like that was what the film style looked like. And there was like barely any substance to it. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, that would be disappointing, especially if it's that OVA style.
Another one that was on there too was called Goku Midnight Eye.
Which, yes, I've heard of that one too.
Yeah, which is like a cyberpunk private investigator sort of thing. And that one was a lot more violent and it was pretty cool. And the cool part is that Tubi offers the English dub version of it, which is Goku is played by Steve Bloom.
Oh,
nice. Isn't that name like copyrighted now at this point?
Goku's a common name. It's like John in America.
Oh, I honestly did not know that.
Probably
well,
not.
Well, because the name Goku comes from the Journey to the West, Son Goku.
Okay. Yeah.
Yes.
So that's why everybody like whenever you hear Son Goku, that's where that name comes from. It's the Monkey King. The Monkey King from Journey to the West.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Oh, so it's what all the weebs are now naming their children now.
Yeah. Well, and that's why Dragon Ball Z, the main character's name is Goku, because Dragon Ball Z used to be just Journey to the West. That's what the original Dragon Ball was Journey to the West.
Oh,
but Derek agrees. Version. You're stepping on Derek's territory.
I am.
Get a resident expert in here.
Now Derek has nothing to say this podcast. You just ruined everything. Back to talking about Game Boys.
Yep. I actually found a game in there called Nut Milk. So
nice.
Oh yeah, yeah.
18+. You can milk almonds, I'm pretty sure.
That's true.
So they say.
Should we talk has anyone watched my pick for best anime of 2020 in my honest opinion?
Which is,
you know, this little guy here, Sleepy Princess Castle.
That's another one on my list that I have to steal.
Oh my god, it's such a... I know I talked about it in the chat, but like, so this is this season's anime from Dogakoba. And while Dogakoba's best character-based anime was New Game, this show, Sleeping Princess in the Demon Castle, hands down, the funniest thing they have ever made. Because they take a premise like a princess trying to find multiple ways to nap inside the castle of a demon where she's being trapped in. And like finding so many different ways and finding so many different jokes for it that it's just one laugh every single second. I love it to death as... one can tell by me having the Teddy Demon plushie. And I think hands down, it's the best representation of 2020 for a protagonist. Cause it's about someone who's trying to get a good night's sleep when the whole world around them is kind of crumbling.
That sounds way too relatable to what's going on right now.
Exactly. Exactly.
Hey, no, like, it's so popular. Like I said, I can't remember if I said this at the beginning of the recording or before or pre-recording, but I said, I don't know what's up with you guys, but my year was fantastic. I think I said that at the beginning of the recording.
Well, I'm so happy for you.
Did you step outside of the house this year?
Yeah, I did. We even went back to Ted's place, which is our normal brunch place, which is great. We went and had brunch, and it was awesome.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You did go back.
How are you saying it's awesome if the crowning achievement is getting to do something that you used to be able to do?
Because isn't that awesome? Like I've literally been sitting in the house for I don't know how long, just drawing. Because I've been drawing comics, so it's been great. I'm actually going to be posting statistics pretty close to the new year. But so far I started this at the beginning of this year. I was on chapter 2 of the comic. Now I'm on chapter 8. The first page I drew on January 1st, 2020 was page 72, and now I'm on page 227.
Oh my Lord.
And I have multiple Patreon subscribers, more than when I started with. So I've gained a lot of Patreon subscribers this year, and I've been able to market a lot better because I have ads running on, well, specifically Fur Affinity has been the best, most lucrative ad that I've been running on the internet this year. But that's been really good for my website traffic. I think I've got like over nearly 7,000 views on my website since I started running this year. So it's been good.
There you go.
I've been having a great year. Comics, yeah, man.
You and adult video streamers.
There's a strange correlation here.
Do you have statistics on that one, Derek?
There are people who made millions this year. I forget what the name of the site is, but it's one where it's just like,
sure you do, sure you do.
Are you saying it's a site only for fans?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what he did there. Oh, just Andrew's like, it just walks outside of his house. He's all thumbs up while the world around him is on fire. I've had a good year, guys.
Again, he's man. The dog. He's the dog. This is fine.
Throw a mask on and walk around the block and then
you're,
go back.
You're the house. Dog now.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Well, okay. You know, I just thought of something that I'm surprised that none of us have brought up is the fact that finally, after years and years and years of waiting, we're finally getting a hockey anime.
Oh heck oh, yeah!
Yeah,
it's about time.
Did we make it?
No.
but I am happy to see that whoever is making it is possibly going to be doing a better job than we did, because theirs are actually starring female characters. And I was like, what? Okay, cool.
Ours doesn't exist.
Yeah, ours exists in concept. That's about
in
it.
In our minds.
Yeah. So Pura Ore, Pride of Orange, will be the first girls ice hockey anime ever.
Initial disappointment. It's not a sexist thing, but women's hockey usually doesn't involve hitting. So that means there's going to be no hitting in the anime?
But women's hockey is significantly more popular in Japan than men's hockey is, believe it or not.
But they also like... Even in like U.S. men's hockey, they don't really hit anymore. They're not allowed to, so it's like kind of the same playing field.
It's true. It's true.
That's super. But the referees have gotten so soft on it. Like, did you guys notice that during the coronavirus year of hockey season, the refs actually let them fight finally again? Like, they're like, F the NHL's rules. Like, we'll let them fight. And they actually fought. Like, they actually had fist fights this year during the coronavirus hockey games.
Wow. They're just like, I just want to stay socially distanced from this fight right now.
Yeah, exactly. There's like, I can't do anything about it. I'd have to get within 6 feet of them, even though they're not socially distancing. Maybe that's why they're fighting. Maybe they're fighting because they're not socially distancing. You've seen the videos online of people being irrational. Maybe they're being irrational. I'm going to let them fight. NHL.
Oh, get away from me. They're probably getting tested every single like second they're in that arena, something that. Oh my gosh.
Ugh. I actually have a hockey player who comes into my into the store I work at, because he actually lives in the area. But he he's been coming in every day for like a while, because he was on a team that got eliminated from the playoffs. But then like a week and a half ago, all of a sudden he just stopped showing up. So I'm like, oh, they probably shipped him out to go get stored away and tested and the general public.
Or they traded him maybe to a different team.
No, I've been watching. I've been watching.
Okay.
That's cool. That's cool.
Wait, it's December. Has hockey season started? Because I haven't been getting notifications on my phone, but hockey season usually starts in October.
I thought it was next month.
So they're starting preseason training and workouts and stuff now, and the season's supposed to start on the 13th.
Oh, okay. Wow. That's late. And
it's really late.
You're only going to play teams within your own division.
Oh, yeah, they cut down the amount of games. There was something like, what, like 160 games this season or something like that?
No way. Not as many as baseball.
I love that that's the cut down version, because they usually play close to 200 games in hockey.
Really? Oh my
god. Because they start in October and they end in April. And they have a hockey game almost every other day.
Oh, you mean like all teams collectively? I'm like, no, each team plays 82 games.
Oh, really? I thought that was a short season.
That was a full season, is 82 games.
Oh, okay.
It's baseball, they play 167, which is insane. So, and like, that's the most played by every single team.
Well, Greg, I don't know if you've ever played baseball, but they don't do anything in that game.
It's just them standing there waiting.
Whoa,
ball,
cat.
Yeah. Oh, God,
I'm so tired now. I need one of those ice bath things.
Oh. Score the field goal, guys. Oh, my God.
Oh, my feet are so sore from all that standing.
The only sport you could ever call David Ortiz a good athlete. He only played half the game. He was a DH.
I mean, if you remember Manny Ramirez, he would like hit the ball, and then if it wasn't a home run, he'd be like, "I'm out," and they'd like walk off the field. It's like, I can't make those bases.
They wanted me to run how far?
Yeah.
No thanks. Jog at best.
He's like running to the bag. He's just like, why aren't you guys getting the ball? Somebody get me out. I don't want to run. Like, and he makes it on first base. He's like, crap, I have to run some more.
No, didn't Manny get a pinch hitter because he didn't want to run? I'm pretty sure he got a pinch runner.
Oh my gosh.
He got somebody to run for him once he got the first.
Oh man. I love being a hybrid nerd.
Who doesn't?
Babe Ruth never had a pinch runner. He ran those bases while drunk and on cocaine.
Yeah.
With a cigar in hand.
Yes.
Well, they really knew how to party in 1920. You know, they got the Spanish flu going on at the time. They smoke while playing baseball.
I mean, Lou Gehrig ran until he couldn't run anymore.
Well, wait, it's been 90 years.
It's true, though.
It's 100% true. He ran until he couldn't run anymore. It was great.
He came up with his own disease. It was great.
He was just like, look at this disease I invented. It's like, I'm still going to play baseball, though.
Maybe this should be edited out, but it won't.
All I can think of right now is the Norm MacDonald sketch. I was being sarcastic. I am not lucky. I am, in fact, the most unluckiest man in the world. I have a disease so rare, they named it after me. Lucky me!
I love Norm. Do you guys want to talk about another form of animation? Because I've been watching a lot of Disney Plus.
Me too. Oh, yeah. Oh my god, so have I.
Okay, first, do we want to talk about the good stuff or the bad stuff first?
The bad stuff, get it out of the way. Then the
okay,
good stuff.
Talk right. About the bad stuff.
Let's talk about Mulan.
I just decided not to watch it.
It's not even
Mulan
animation.
Exists. I didn't even watch it. I just watched how bad it fell and crashed and burned.
So So Christine and I
did not get down to business at all, man.
Yeah. Nope. So Christine and I decided to watch it because, like, you know, in order to form your own opinion of something that is horrendously bad, you have to actually see it for yourself. And it's as rough to get through as you would imagine. Actually, it's not fun at all. Like, the movie's not fun, like, in the least.
Is it, like, so bad that you can compare it to the live action Last Airbender bad?
Yeah, I would say. Well, so the acting's pretty good in it, though, is the thing. But the movie itself just straight up doesn't make any sense otherwise. Like, it's a slog to get through just because of there's so many plot changes and everything like that. And it's just, it's, like, bad.
I heard about basically, she doesn't have character flaws, and they basically turned her into a superhero with superpowers.
Mm-hmm. So a Mary Stu.
She doesn't have a character flaw, but the character flaw that they did give her was Donnie Yen was basically like, you're the best. In fact, you're so good, you're not using your powers. So her character flaw is that she's so good, but she's not using her powers to her full abilities. It's like, oh no, how will she ever overcome this flaw she has?
Yeah, like, so, and for one thing too, is that she does still need to hide her identity as a woman in the Chinese army
for no reason.
It's that, like, she has these crouching tiger, hidden dragon powers that she was just born with. And that would be fine if, like, you know, Mushu was, like, a thing in it too, but, like, so the guardian that watches over Mulan is a phoenix, and all you see is just its shadow fly overhead a couple times, like, when it's significant to the plot for her to be saved by somebody, like, the phoenix flies overhead and she's fine now. The bad guy in the film is just so uninspired. What?
Didn't they do the same thing with Ash Ketchum and Ho-Oh?
Yeah.
Yeah, the magical saving plot device of the legend. Maybe that's what it was in Mulan too. It was just a legendary Pokemon flying overhead and everything's fine now. that movie, it's as bad as everybody says it is. Everybody, just if you're watching it, you need to save time. But I'm sure that you've seen it at this point. But I feel extremely bad for the people who paid the extra $30 to see it early. Extremely bad.
Who would fall for that garbage of like, you're paying for Disney Plus, now we want you to pay more?
Disney
for this movie
learned from their mistakes because they released Soul for free on Christmas, and that was the good movie that I wanted to talk about.
Soul. I was shocked because me and Jonathan watched this together.
Mm-hmm. Question, is it a movie about how souls have feelings?
No, well, it is Pete Docter. So, and he did Inside Out.
Yeah. So this is a Pete Docter film. So I was surprised at how good it was as far as the good Pixar movies go, because Pixar has really been on a slow downward quicksand. I'm going to suffocate to death. Because they were just releasing garbage movies, like straight to DVD, or not straight to DVD, but like sequels that were obviously Disney run, directors that didn't know how to actually direct a good movie and or tell a good story within a universe that they created. But Pete Docter is there at Pixar to help save us all, and so he made Soul, and I was shocked to see how good this movie actually was. As far as the story went and as far as the design went and the acting, and, you know, it was really good. I really, really enjoyed
it. Like, when we watched this, we were like floored. We were even talking about how good the movie was when we were only like a half hour into it. And we're talking about, like, back when quintessential Pixar was in the loop. Like, we're talking about the levels of good from, like, Up. Like, if you remember how good Up was when that came out, like, that's how good Soul is. It's putting it in that, like, top 3 to 5 Pixar movie category. And don't get me wrong. So Pete Docter's last film was Inside Out, and I love Inside Out. It's actually probably my number one film, but it was within that era Like that was the lightning in a bottle that was of the same era of Pixar that was not as good. And now I know for a fact that every time Pete Docter is going to make a film, it's going to be all right.
Yeah, it's probably going to be one of the better ones.
It's going to be enjoyable. And man, was Soul. Like, I cannot recommend Soul enough to people because it is just so damn good.
Yeah, definitely watch it. It's amazing. It's pretty good.
Nice. So I've actually been catching up on the animated series that have been put on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched the entire first season of The Owl House.
Okay.
Really enjoyed it. I think the story of Luz trying to become sort of like a mage or a wizard girl, being trained by, I'm blanking on her name, but she is played by Wendy Malick from Just Shoot Me.
Yeah.
Who, oddly enough, looks like Ryoko from Tenchi Muyo.
Yeah.
The story is pretty good. It's kind of that sort of fish out of water, only human out of her element.
It's like Harry Potter.
Yeah, basically like Harry Potter.
But more demons.
More demons.
More Satan.
but thoroughly enjoyable.
I watched the first episode and then a little bit afterwards too. And I thought the show was fine. But like in the midst of what, you know, animated series on Disney has turned into, like, if we talk about all the rest of them, like Amphibia,
which I've also been enjoying.
Amphibia, Big City Greens, DuckTales, and all that stuff. It's just a muddy blur to me. And honestly, I haven't seen a difference between any of the animated series shows, and they're all fine. They're all great shows. I actually thoroughly enjoy all of them, but there's nothing different about any of them, and that's my problem.
They're all run by Tumblr artists. They all make the same crap.
Yeah, I know. It's...
And that's not me being like facetious or a joke. They're literally all run by Tumblr artists. Like everybody who's been hired at both Cartoon Network and Disney have worked for Tumblr at one point and made some crappy webcomic and then got hired and made a crappy cartoon.
But yeah, it's my stance on, and it's fine if you like, if you enjoy Owl House, like I'm saying, be my guest, like enjoy Owl House. That's great. But my opinion on Disney animated series, and it's the same with Cartoon Network too. Like, don't get me wrong. Like Cartoon Network is I have the same problem with that. Same problem.
Cartoon
with
Network is trash. Oh my gosh.
Remember the olden days? Like I was looking up old Cartoon Network stuff when they were running like the Centurions and Space Ghost Coast to Coast and stuff like that.
So. Yeah. I will say though that so HBO Max has been releasing new like hour long specials of Adventure Time that expands on some of the characters. Like the first one was based off of BMO, which was actually an origin story of how BMO got to where Adventure Time was.
Ooh.
And then the second one was about Princess Bubblegum and Marceline, and it actually showed the origin of how they actually first broke up.
Yeah, their shoehorned relationship.
It wasn't a shoehorned relationship. It was actually Pendleton Ward actually planned out the whole thing to be like that.
No, that's not true. That's not like it was written in last minute by the artist before they could edit it out. Like that's the that's the story.
But it was good. It was still a very good special. It did make me want more of a Marceline-centered story of like Marceline-centered series of Adventure Time because she
I'm
was
pretty sure everybody wanted
character.
More Marceline when Adventure Time. I still haven't finished Adventure Time to be honest. I really want to. But
I do recommend it because I stopped after the whole Islands thing, after the whole Islands arc because I thought all the answers that I was looking for had been answered. But then, like, when they started releasing Distant Lands, I went, okay, I'm going to jump back in, see if the rest of it's any good. And there are some issues here and there with how the main series ended, but I like what they've been adding to Distant Lands.
Last thing that I remember from Adventure Time was they introduced...
What was it?
Inferno Queen, Princess.
Oh, yeah.
Fire Princess. Yeah.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
Long time.
What?
That was like season two, I think.
Was it really then?
To be honest, I think like so Fire Princess and the Lich, like trapped in the snail. That was the last time we watched Adventure Time.
I remember talking about that show in college when they were just doing the pilot episode, and like everybody was watching the pilot episode, and like everybody in college was saying, like, your hat is stupid. My hat is awesome. Like everybody in college.
Oh yeah, when
was
it was pitched
that
to Nickelodeon originally, and Nickelodeon was like, no, we're not doing that. So Cartoon Network was like, we'll take it.
Yeah. The rise and fall of good cartoons.
Yeah,
right, so, character development throughout the seasons.
Yeah.
Well, and that's what's definitely. Like that was one of the things, that was one of the first shows that they released on Cartoon Network that was like one of those like character development based shows. So that's what made it really good and appealing to people.
And they kept the same voice actor too, and he definitely sounds a lot older by the
end. He went through puberty. Oh yeah, my gosh. Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you watched Voltron after that too, and he played, I'm just gonna say Blue Lion because I don't remember the character names.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, I don't know how he went back to doing Finn after going through puberty, because he sounds so different in the Voltron series.
It would only make sense for Finn to age himself, though.
Absolutely.
Well, that's what happens in Distant Lands. And so, not to spoil anything, but you do see Finn at the end of the Marceline Princess Bubblegum special. And he's actually like in his 20s now.
Actually, cool. You know what? Now that I have access to HBO Max, that's what I should do. I should put Adventure Time on my list, because I was able to sit through like Star versus the Forces of Evil while I work. So I might as well be. I imagine I'd be able to pull off sitting through Adventure Time while I work as well, and then finally getting to kill off that series, and then I should do that.
Yeah, I highly recommend.
That sounds like a good adventure.
A good time for adventure.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Some other good stuff too that I've watched. If anybody wants me to jump in for some more series,
the Mandalorian.
Well, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, do we want to talk about the Mandalorian? I mean, like, I don't care.
So I'm only up to the first season, so I haven't watched the second season yet.
Boo, yo, it gets so good.
I know. So I don't know if I think the first season is the superior season, but season two is pretty good.
The last three or four episodes though were better. Like the first half is rough to get through because they're doing a lot of story stuff. But the last
I did like those episodes though.
I did too. I liked it all. Don't get me wrong. I'm not bashing any of it.
Yeah, the egg eating thing was still a little confusing to me because I was like, I don't know if this is supposed to be funny. Am I supposed to be stressed out? Like that was really mixed as far as like, I don't get this joke.
Yeah.
But you'll see when you get there.
Yeah.
Season two is pretty good. I think I like season one still the best, but it's a solid show.
Well, because season two, the important thing is season two ends a really important arc. So that's one thing. And if you if you don't know what happens in it yet, like stay away from any spoilers.
Yeah, don't let anybody spoil it for you because it's actually kind of interesting.
Yeah, and the writing that they did on it was really good. I appreciate it very much.
I love the fact that they did get Robert Rodriguez to direct one of the episodes.
Yeah.
And it got that El Mariachi feel in that specific one.
Well, and that's what I liked about The Mandalorian to begin with, was Star Wars has always been written to be a space western. And this is the first show out of Star Wars that they've created that just feels like that. It feels like a Wild West adventure in space.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because Christine and I were, so right before this recording, we watched Chef and Jon Favreau's film.
That's a great movie.
And when it ended, Christine actually said to me, she was like, you know, Jon Favreau's pretty much the new age John Hughes. And
kind of, except he made The Lion King. Like, well, that is, will forever be a black spot on Jon Favreau's record.
He has been making it up for with what he's been doing with The Mandalorian,
right? Yeah,
definitely. It's just that I feel like that it was a obligatory contract job, because like, hey, you made some really good looking animals in The Jungle Book, why don't you make some really good looking animals in The Lion King? And he was like, well, you're gonna pay me millions of dollars, so why not? You know, I mean, like, to be honest, I would do maybe do that, because I don't think it would tarnish his reputation that bad.
I don't know, man, it was pretty bad.
It's a bad movie.
But maybe, like, he traded doing a soulless version of Lion King for creative freedom with The Mandalorian.
Maybe that's a really distinct possibility.
And just the market that he's going to, little kids are always going to want to watch The Lion King, so those are guaranteed sales.
No, dude, but nobody's going to be like, you know what I want to watch today? I want to watch The Lion King 2019 when Lion King 1994 exists. Like, there's no way you will ever choose new Lion King over old Lion King. 0% chance.
Look, I mean, he's not going to make every single thing perfect. I mean, yeah, I wish it was better, but...
I mean, like, even Brad Bird, one of my most favorite directors of all time, made Tomorrowland. And if you haven't had the pleasure of watching Tomorrowland, get yourself Disney Plus and watch Tomorrowland.
That is a terrible movie. We watched that in theaters, and I was just like, God damn. Like,
I just cut my eyes out right now.
I mean, like, we're talking about the guy who made The Iron Giant and The Incredibles, and then he makes Tomorrowland?
Yeah, like, oh my God.
Was his script written on a napkin?
Yeah. On top of and he made the Mission Impossible movies actually watchable again.
He brought back the Mission Impossible movies after Mission Impossible 3. Like,
two.
Even. Three. Like, no, three.
Well, because he made three, right?
No. That was I'm blanking on who made the third one.
Doesn't matter. That's the why.
J.J. Abrams directed the third one.
No. Are you serious?
I think so. Okay, I need to, like, check.
Definitely got to look that up right
now.
That
explains all the lens flares.
So, yep. Co-written and directed by J.J. Abrams.
Holy crap.
I was right!
By the way, when you mentioned Chef John, isn't that movie from 2014? You said it was a new movie?
Sure. I didn't say it was new.
They just said they watched it.
Yeah,
I actually watched it myself last night. It was really good. At least
so freaking good. It's just like a feel good movie that.
Literally no conflict in that movie. It's just good.
Like, well, there's conflict. There's actually a lot of conflict in the movie, but it's feel good through and through. So,
well, there's a happy ending. Yeah, I
mean, yeah, but yeah, we really enjoyed that. But yeah,
virtually no conflict. I didn't say virtually.
That's the way I felt about it too. But then after rewatching, I was like, all right, there's some like good stuff to overcome, and there's an arc. There's definitely like two major story arcs in the film. But yeah. Anyway, so we watched that. But speaking of Netflix, I wanted to talk about one of the shows that I watched that I'm curious if anybody else watched too. I know Andrew watched it, but yeah. It's all started from a Webtoons comic that got turned into a Netflix series called Sweet Home. And I don't know if you guys have watched Sweet Home, but so it started out as a horror comic on Webtoons, Korean horror comic, which was like Junji Ito levels of creativity when it comes to creatures. And
his creature design isn't as creepy as Junji Ito. Because this is just like an independent guy.
Yeah, but I think that the emotion and stuff that you get out of it, though, because it's a very dark, depressing series.
So I'm actually still in the midst of reading it right now. I'm on chapter 52 of it.
It was like 200.
Yeah, it's probably about 140 chapters long. But it's a really good web series. Now imagine you're just this independent creator who creates a webtoon that becomes the most popular webtoon that people in Korea are like, hey, we would like to make an entire show about your webtoon that you made. Like, that would be amazing. That's awesome. Like, yeah. Good for this guy.
So they made it, so they put it on Netflix, and it's good. I would say it's not as good as the comic, but
yeah, it's different. It's different, but the same.
It's exactly the same, but just the fact that you have drawings converted into live action doesn't really work as well as you'd hope, especially if it's Korean produced too, because like they don't have the, you know, the Hollywood capabilities of doing
CGI.
And also some really weird directorial choices. For instance, like the first monster that they end up fighting, suddenly Warriors by Imagine Dragons starts playing while they're fighting the first monster. And it was so out of left field.
It's like, that's not like, appropriate.
Who made that choice?
Imagine Dragons isn't appropriate for anything, movie or situation. So like a horror movie? I don't think so.
Yeah. Regardless, the creature design is great in it, and it's gory, it's bloody, it's kind of creepy in the same way. But I would say if you really want to get a good sense of what the original content of it was, definitely read the comic. One of the really nasty things that came out of it, though, is that as soon as it got a deal on Netflix, the comic on Webtoons went pay to read. So they gave you the first 15 chapters for free, and then you had to pay Webtoons in order to read the rest of the series, which was so stingy, like so incredibly stingy.
Yeah, like this, like free webcomic, like come on, like it's been free for years, and then they're just like, oh, slap that pay for on it. Yeah. It was like, oh, gross.
Like people, like fans of the comic had been reading it all the way up till like chapter.
Yeah.
I don't
like,
know.
There are like comments that are just like, I literally was reading this up to chapter 80 and it got paywalled on me as I was reading it. It was just like, wow, that is dirty.
One thing that I do want to say about it, though, is that if we think about how awesome it is that now we're getting into this era of time where people who make web comics are now getting Netflix deals, you know, and where anybody could go with a comic based off of, you know, what they actively create. So like that part of it is really encouraging to me. And I really hope that that's a continuing trend, because if Sweet Home does well, which I believe it is, doing
it
well
was
on Netflix.
It was the first Korean drama to actually crack the top 10 in America.
That's amazing.
That's great. Yeah.
So maybe there's going to be more of this then. Maybe there's going to be a wave of people going through webcomics and saying, let's find a really great webcomic that barely anybody knows about, and we'll make a series about it.
Okay. Speaking of more on Netflix, the second season finally of Hilda dropped. That show is so enchanting. Like, there are times where I'm watching a show and I can't, and it does have its fantasy elements and it has, you know, sprinklings of other shows here and there, but as a whole, Hilda is one of those shows where I can't actually compare it to any other cartoon I've ever seen, at least from a Western perspective.
I've seen the first couple episodes of Hilda, and I watched them back in early 2019. I rather enjoyed them. I just never got around to finishing it because I was heavy into work at that time.
Yeah.
But yeah, what I saw of Hilda, I really enjoyed. I really did.
I think the thing I like most about the show is how it pays homage and tribute to like classic Norse mythology.
Yeah, it's Norse mythology.
Yeah, Norse mythology with like the creatures and the monsters. And it just makes it seem it's dark, but whimsical at the same time. And there are parts of it that are frightening, but it's done so to a point where like it's kind of like a comfort food sort of Western cartoon. Where
yeah, I think any kid can watch it.
Yeah, any kid can watch it. Even though there are some terrifying parts to it, I feel like it kind of teaches some sort of backlying lesson of sorts of, you know, the world is a scary place, but so long as you have courage in your heart, you can push on through everything or anything.
I actually had dinner with the storyboard artist of Hilda.
Really?
Yeah. Back in when I went to Canada, in 2019. Yeah, same trip. I was in Canada 2019 and went out to first, because basically the class that I went to was taught by her husband, mm-hmm. and then we all went out to dinner afterwards, and his wife showed up, and she was there. She was. It was just the storyboard artist of Hilda. So it's cool.
Nice.
Yeah, she's a good artist. Really, really good artist.
Yeah, and the show is beautiful too. The music mm-hmm. as well. Soundtrack. They actually got so a little bit talking about music. A country artist that I've been getting into recently is Orville Peck, and he actually got him to do an original song specifically for Hilda in the second season.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I too have only seen the first couple of episodes, but I loved that story with the giants, like the Midnight Giants. That was... Like,
and they expand more on that in the second season.
That's good, because I thought that the giants were very intriguing characters. So yeah.
So they're like trolls, that. Actually, not giants.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the rock trolls?
Yeah.
No, the giants, the ones that turned into mountains because they were hiding themselves from the world.
Oh, I know what you're talking about now. Yes.
Yeah, that was...
that's totally different.
Yeah, that's what I liked. Yeah, all right, let's see what else I got here. I'm looking at my list. Mm-hmm. Animaniacs finished the Animaniacs.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah.
It was... It had a good mix of flavors in whether, but it felt like the original Animaniacs. Like, they hit some really funny things. Stayed neutral on some topics, but definitely leaned from more one side to the other on others.
Which they did in the previous one as well.
Yeah, definitely. But yeah, they had some really good, funny, creative songs and some really good stuff. I found it really funny, like when we were getting to the last episode and Dr. Scratch and Sniff was finally there, and I was like, oh my gosh, they finally brought him into, like, I was curious if anybody even knew why they took out Dr. Scratch and Sniff in the first place.
I don't think there was a reason.
Yeah. I mean, like he was like one of the best parts about the original Animaniacs, and, you know, and they just completely wiped out Hello Nurse altogether.
Which is disappointing because he was a good character.
Yeah. Right. It was funny. But although you can still find, which is funny because you can still find I don't know if you can find the original Animaniacs anywhere. Is it on Hulu?
Yeah, it's all on Hulu. I watched the whole thing.
Okay. Cause I found Wacko's Wish on Hulu, but I didn't find the other ones. Okay, so if the original Animaniacs, then I might want to go back and watch that. Yeah,
so the original Animaniacs, Pinky and the Brain, and Pinky, Elmira, and the Brain are all on Hulu.
But there's no Freakazoid.
Yeah,
no Freakazoid. It used to be on Verve, but it's not anymore.
Yeah, Bummer. Right. Yep. No, I remember that. I remember!
Mm-hmm. Although Freakazoid did just show up on Teen Titans Go.
Wow.
I'd say watching the new Animaniacs actually made it so I went back and rewatched the entirety of the first one too.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did as well.
I don't got Hulu, so I can't do that.
Speaking of Teen Titans Go, though, HBO Max just released the latest in the Teen Titans Go movie series, which was Teen Titans Go versus Teen Titans. So they combine the universes of Teen Titans Go characters and the original Teen Titans from 2003. It's good. Like, it's surprisingly, shockingly really good.
Well, there are some cringe parts to it, but for the most part, it is good.
Yeah, I don't know if I would say it's good. If anything, I think what that movie proved was that they can never bring back Teen Titans like the way it was, because even the Teen Titans characters, the 2003 Teen Titans characters, were Flash animated.
Yep.
And it's because nobody wants to hand draw anything anymore. Everything has to be cheap. Like, you have to do everything cheaply. And the reason why Thundercats 2011, Teen Titans, even the animated series of DC, of all the DC universe stuff.
Mm-hmm.
The reason why that those are all gone is because you can't flash animate them and do it puppetry animation and do it digitally and do it lazily, because it's too expensive, which is garbage. You know, the reason the way you get good cartoons is by paying out for them. But, you know,
I agree.
And so that Teen Titans versus Teen Titans Go was like one of those like nails in the coffin for me, where it's just like, wow, even the Teen Titans are puppetry flash animated. Like, no thanks.
Listen,
I'm done.
I know, but I still really enjoyed it. Like, I legitimately enjoyed it to a point where I would recommend it to other people. That I will stand on.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen, but we watched it together, didn't we?
I don't think so. Like, I think I saw it on TV, like when I was home by myself one day.
Because we watched it forever ago. Not when it was on HBO Max. Like, I watched it when it was released.
It was on TV, yeah. It was,
yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I watched that with you.
I feel like that I saw it and I was like, hey, it's playing again. And you like DVR'd it for one day.
Oh, yeah. I think you're right. I think you're right.
Yeah. They added in a multiverse element, too, that brought in, like, every iteration of the Teen Titans, which I thought was really clever, you know, a clever overlay because, you know, every era, like, even the Marv Wolfman and George Perez Teen Titans were in there. The 1960s cartoon version of the Teen Titans was there. And, like, yeah, it's... And then they had some made-up versions of Teen Star Titans as well.
Poofed out hair.
Yeah. I thought it was good. I thought it was funny. I thought it had some really good quality humor, like, that you get from Teen Titans Go from it. So, yeah, I liked it.
We should discuss best and worst video games.
Yes.
Sure. I'll tell you the best video game that I played this year so far. Well, one of them, anyways. Streets of Rage 4.
Finally, oh, man, Streets of Rage 4 is awesome.
Dude, the game. So for those of you, I think everybody here knows our history. When I say our, and mine and Andrew's game. But it's our history with video games is that the first video game we ever played at 3 years old was Streets of Rage 1 on the Sega Genesis. And then Streets of Rage 4 drops. And I bought it sometime last year when it was first released. But I didn't play it until I could play it with Andrew. So
Jonathan got it for me for Christmas.
Yeah, so I got it as a Christmas gift for him, and we beat it in one sitting, like just played through it. And man, like that game is so, like, they are the kings of the street brawler.
Yeah, it's good. It's so good.
Animation, characters, story.
Yeah, people will argue that Final Fight is probably the best street brawler game, but nah, like in my humble opinion, and that's even including that Streets of Rage 2 is a garbage game, and Streets of Rage 3 is only okay, because Streets of Rage 1 and Streets of Rage 4 are superior games. Like, those are so good.
Mm-hmm.
And come at me if you're one of those people that's just like, no, man, Streets of Rage 2 is the best one. You're dumb, because that game is mechanically broken.
Wow, so aggressive.
Yeah, man,
sounds like you're living in the Streets of Rage.
You should wait to hear what he says when somebody says that Scott Pilgrim game is the best street brawler game. Oh yeah, what?
It's a very good game, but it's not the best.
I'm just kidding.
Are we talking about video games that came out this year or just in general?
I guess probably video games that came out this year, or at least games that you played this year.
Oh, okay, I got one. So, Evan, this is a shout out to you as well. Remember PAX East last year when we reviewed that game together? Which
Man
one?
Eater, which is actually going to be a free PlayStation Plus game next month.
You've got to be kidding me, because I actually paid for the game. I choke on my saliva.
Choke on your purchase. Ha.
I know, right? Like, I paid $30 for it. But no, overall, it's like the GTA of like being a shark. And I actually thoroughly enjoyed the game. I was looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think this is our top game in our seed crew that we like to make fun of Greg for playing.
Because it's like, oh, Cyberpunk 2077 came out, and I haven't bought it yet because I'm waiting for them to like update the game. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's overhyped. I'm not a fan of games that are super overhyped.
It's not. It's good.
No, I'm not saying like it's bad. But, like, for me, it's like I kind of like those obscure games that nobody talks about, and I never heard anyone talk about Maneater, but when I played the demo at PAX East 2019, I was like, I gotta get this game. You're just an effing shark, go around and kill people. Like, and I loved it. It was great. Great game.
And Greg is playing the game going, Maneater, Maneater,
Maneater. I'm a big shark, big shark.
I, however, did get to play Cyberpunk. I was one of the day one purchases. And I was also one of the people that the game runs perfectly fine for me. Because So here's my opinion on Cyberpunk. Cyberpunk should have never been released on consoles. It should have been a PC exclusive game, and but heaven forbid PC players get exclusive titles anymore without console players, you know, crapping seven different colors of crap and being like, how dare they? So they should have, what they should have done was they should have released Cyberpunk on PC first. And then on PC, where it's the platform where it's most malleable at the time, you can patch it, you can fix all the bugs, you can find out everything that's going wrong while people can still actively play the game. And then like a year later, you release Cyberpunk on consoles when the old consoles get phased out and the new consoles are more stable in their hardware and software. And that way you get a patched version of what Cyberpunk is from the PC. A lot of people don't remember this, but when The Witcher 3 launched, The Witcher 3 launched the same exact way.
Yeah.
And The Witcher 3 wasn't good until a year after its launch when they had all the DLCs and all the expansion packs put into it.
You know, I actually got shit on by people because I rated The Witcher 3 like an 8.6 out of 10. And they were like, how dare you not rate it a 10 out of 10?
Yeah. Derek.
When it was like, I remember when I played Witcher 3, I lost hours of progress because my game refused to save.
Yeah.
Okay, so I like what you're going with there. I think that's a good direction, but instead of PC exclusive, I think it should be exclusive with the new KFC console.
Oh my God, that's right. They made that.
Wait, no lie. That it actually looks kind of dope.
This is real, right?
Yeah, I think it legit is. KFC made a video game console, and like you can actively like heat up chicken in the console and play it.
Well, can it run warm. Doom?
If it runs Doom and it runs chicken, then I'll buy it.
I think I read it runs up to 240 frames a second.
I don't think so.
If it runs 240 frames a second, like Andrew and John know the most, that I will be there, especially if it cooks me food.
It runs 240 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah. See, here's the problem. Is my computer is 2 years old at this point. I've had this computer for over 2 years at this point. Mm-hmm. And my GPU is better than a PS5. It still is after 2.5 years. I'm running a console or a PC with a GeForce NVIDIA graphics card 1080 Ti, and the newest ones that they have are the 380 or the 390s, 380s, basically the 30 series of those, and nobody can get a hold of them. But the PS5, the only thing it does better is like interlacing than a 1080 Ti. Cause I was looking at the specs of, I was like, oh, okay. So they're planning on running Cyberpunk on a PS5 and here's what it looks like. And I'm hoping that my computer can at least look like that. And then, so I go to this website that actually actively compares hardwares and GPUs, and lo and behold, my GPU outperformed a PS5. So I was like, man, I'm glad I have a PC. And that's why when people say, oh, PCs are too expensive, like I can't afford one right now, it's just like, well, you're going to put money into it because you're going to run something that's going to last you a long time. Like, and not to mention, you can buy almost every game you can possibly imagine.
It's also insane as well to add to that point, like when it comes to GPU power. Mm-hmm. Because the new consoles can run like up to 120 FPS, and they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. And it's like PC's been there for like at least what, 3-4 years already.
Yeah.
Now I've talked to these guys in the past, and I really want to hopefully get myself a gaming PC sometime in the near future, because not just, you know, for Cyberpunk reasons, but because Subverse is finally coming out very soon. And I really want to Dude, like the behind it, I'm part of the Discord for that. It's dope what they've been coming up with this game. Like, this is like a high end, like the most high end hentai game ever made, in my opinion. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh. So I'm just gonna throw it out there that I also am on the Discord and I also contributed to the project. Not that I plan on playing it, but because I like really wanted to throw my middle finger up to the AAA gaming industry and just be like, here's $10 to this game that is that I want it to be better than a AAA title. Like, it just and make give dude, they made like $2 million.
Wait. You gave them $10 in hopes of giving them the middle finger, but like,
yeah, I just wanted to contribute.
No, the AAA industry,
yeah.
The middle
finger. Yeah, no,
the
AAA gaming industry
looks better than most. It honestly looks better than most AAA games.
Yeah, so because I contributed my $10 to the project, I actually still get all the dev diaries from me the too. Kickstarter campaign. So, and I read all the dev diaries just to see what they're up to, and I was like, man, this game's actually looking pretty dang good. And I guess they're planning on releasing the first chapter, because they're going to release it chapter based, and like as new chapters come out, like your save product progress is going to be continuous. Mm-hmm. Is what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I guess the first chapter's coming out early quarter one. So it could come out in January or February. Mm-hmm. As soon as that is when they're going to start releasing Subverse, which is actually pretty impressive.
What I find it really impressive is the fact that they had initially only planned to do like 3 or 4 chapters, but because of how much they made, they've expanded it to like 22.
Yeah, like, I think they said 22 chapters. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Is there going to be like a VR version of this game? Because there has to be.
There has to be someone who's going to do a mod version.
Yeah, but I don't think there's any official VR talk at the moment.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. But so, yeah, that
man,
that's a wild conversation about an indie game that they're just going to like they literally set out, we're going to make the best porn game ever made. And it's just like, wow. Cyberpunk 2077, look out. You got some competitors. Speaking of that, I've been reading like all the articles on the Cyberpunk lawsuits and stuff, which I think are the most garbage things that I've ever read. Like, why would you ever do a class action lawsuit against a company that released a game that wasn't ready to be released, but the investors forced them to release the game? Like, cause that's what happened. Like PlayStation,
So what the investors are pulling out now too.
Well, that's just it, is the people who forced them to release the game unfinished were people like PlayStation. And then so they get the PlayStation games on the PlayStation consoles and they run buggy and they don't work. And then PlayStation is like, we're suing you. And it's just like, but you literally told us to release the game or else we were going to lose your money. Like, that's...
PlayStation did the exact same thing to No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, No Man's Sky... Like, and No Man's Sky is a great game now.
Yeah, by the way, if anybody hasn't seen the Internet Historian YouTube video on No Man's Sky, you got to watch it because it puts you back into No Man's Sky corner. Like, oh man, those guys worked their butts off.
Oh man, they were... probably some of the hardest working people, but that's why in the current state that Cyberpunk is in right now, I love Cyberpunk. I've put over 40 hours into the game so far, and I'm not even like, I'm probably about halfway done with the story mode because I've just been doing everything and I love playing it. And being from Boston and having walked on the sidewalks of Boston and stuff, that's what it feels like walking on in just the sidewalks of Night City. Because Night City is so well designed. The only thing that's disappointing about it is you can't go into certain buildings of interest. Like some of the buildings they've created in the game are so interesting. Like there's like a round one of brain dances. And I was like, I want to go inside that building, but of course there's no entrance to the building.
So it's like when you're walking around in Yakuza and any of the Yakuza games, you're like, I want to go in there. You can't.
I would assume so, yeah. But the... Like, sure, it's buggy, and sure, the driving is a little nutty, and sure, the car damage looks like crap, and sure, but I love the combat. I love the characters. I love the story. The character creation is wicked cool. The character progression feels nice. Like, my character is built to be a gunslinger, right? So, I've leveled up my character, and I've pumped every single one of my stats into handguns. So that literally I am just the best with handguns and I get all the critical damage possible. Plus, I've specced into my cool feat, which also increases my critical damage. So literally every single time I fire a gun, it's like if I get a headshot, I do 15,000 damage. It's just like critical hit, critical hit, critical hit. Like you can, people just have to realize that this is not a first-person shooter GTA. That's not what Cyberpunk is, and a lot of people are expecting that. This is an RPG. This is a true and blue RPG where you have to understand what character leveling means. You have to min-max, or you don't have to min-max, but min-maxing is a good route to go. Like, where you can't be a jack of all trades, because when you get to level 50, you can't spec out of level 50 anymore. So you actually have to focus on certain skills, or else you're going to miss out on major skills. So being an RPG player, I understand these things, and the game is great. I'm having a great time with it, but I just think they should have waited on console release and just released it on PC. They would have gotten way less flack for it.
Mm.
So games. Yay. Oh, yay. Also Doom Eternal came out this year and it was great. I still haven't finished it, but it was cool. So
I finished it, and it's just as good at the end as it was at the beginning. Mm-hmm.
You know, yeah, Doom 2016 is still the superior Doom game in my opinion, but Doom Eternal is still good.
You were complaining earlier about game exclusivity on consoles. I wish they would bring, like, and I don't know how you guys feel, but like the God of War series from Sony over to PC.
Yeah, I don't give a crap about God of War.
Fair enough. I would kill the play on PC.
Well, download an emulator and play it. Oh, wait. Well, PS2 emulators are actually pretty tough to get, unfortunately.
Yeah. So what about our love for Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout?
I've only played like one or two matches of it.
Yeah, it was fun for a while, but just like any other Battle Royale game, Battle Royale games burn out quick. Like, they're fun for the novelty, and then they kind of go away.
Yeah. I've honestly been putting a lot more time into Genshin Impact than Fall Guys these days. I've actually been liking it.
Your free shiny spyware.
Wow.
I haven't paid a single penny for that game. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but I know it's free. That's what I said, free Chinese spyware. All you have to do is give them your email address and your passwords, and then
I have not given any of that to me. I don't even have an account.
I'm poking fun, of course, because I also have Genshin Impact on my computer. I've only made it to like level 6, but I played it once, but it was fun.
Yeah, I'm enjoying my time with that game. A lot of people are.
And that's why everybody's making these Breath of the Wild clones. So, like, after Breath of the Wild came out, everybody started making, you know, Genshin Impact came out. This, Immortals Fenyx Rising came out, which is also kind of like a Breath of the Wild clone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because, you know, when after Dark Souls or after Demon Souls came out, everybody started making demons and roguelikes and Metroidvanias, and basically it's just a new genre, which is like the Breath of the Wild genre, which is weird because open world has always existed, but this is like a specific version of sandboxing, which is Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, which is so I've actually been having more fun with Genshin Impact than I've ever had with Breath of the Wild, to be honest with you. I don't know what it is about Breath of the Wild that I think there are too many mechanics in Breath of the Wild that made everything feel like too much of a chore for me in some parts. Sure. Whereas within Genshin Impact, it's so easy to do stuff and get everything done without feeling like you got to go do A, B, C, D, E, F, and G.
And then you got to collect all the waifus.
And yeah.
Yeah. Can't collect waifus in Legend of Zelda because there's only one.
Yeah, that is true. That is true.
It's the only one you need.
It's true.
And it's Princess Ruta.
Oh, I thought it was Navi.
No. I thought it was Mipha.
Mm-hmm. Wait, is Navi considered a girl?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
Really? Did anyone get to play Carry On this year?
No. But I know you did, and the game looks like a freaking blast.
It is. It's being able to play like a tentacle monster in a Metroidvania style kind of game. And it's basically Legend of the Overfiend, the video game. But like M-rated, not adults only rated.
Shut up.
What was that?
Sorry, this stupid thing kept coming up on my phone. My apologies. I'm just going to mute myself real quick.
Alexa, play Despacito.
I gotcha. My mic was muted.
Oh, thank God I have my headphones on, because if you had said that, Andrew, mine would have gone off. But Carry On was great. Paper Beast, I think, is the one that really stands out the most as something that I would call my game of the year. It was a virtual game where you travel through this mysterious world where, like, the animals are made out of, like, paper and sticks and everything like that. And it's from the same guy who created the game Another World, or Out of This World, as some people might refer it to as.
I vaguely remember that game.
So the game itself, it makes you like explore and try to figure out how to get things done, but so in a way that it's charming and relaxing. And there are parts of this game where you just feel truly immersed in the virtual environment that you do forget that you're in a virtual environment. It is out of this world. Fantastic. How about
Paper Beast?
Yeah, Paper Beast. Okay. I think it's a PlayStation VR exclusive. I don't know if they made it for... it might be for Oculus now. I have to double check on that. What about terrible video games? What's the worst game you played this year?
Oh, well, so this game didn't come out this year, but I finally played it this year because they released it for like $11. So I was like, oh, $11? That sounds pretty good. Was a Dragon Age Inquisition. So I started playing because it literally has every single kind of mechanic in a fantasy adventure video game that I should like.
Yeah.
And then I started playing it and I was like, wow, I cannot believe how much I hate this right now. And it's the only game I've ever bought on Steam and returned.
Wow. Yeah. So no, I had the same experience because I had gotten that game for Christmas a couple of years ago for PlayStation 4. And I played like the first hour of it and I was like, I'm done. This is stupid.
Yeah, like I didn't feel connected to my, like, because usually when you create a character, mm-hmm. like you feel connected to them. Like in Cyberpunk 2077, you create your character and then you hardly get to see their face because most of the game is in first person mode. But I felt more connected to V in Cyberpunk than I felt connection to this character that I spent time to build this awesome Viking fighter character. And because I just didn't care. Like I don't know. Like the plight felt too big, and like it was like, oh, interdimensional demons are coming through the portal, and you have the magic thing on your hand. It was like only you can fix it. And I was like, wow, that feels really shoehorned.
Yeah.
And then you get into the open world sections and you're just like, there's way too much to explore here and all these other maps that feel so useless to me that I just don't care.
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt when I played Dragon Age Inquisition many years back. It was just like, there's too much here that I have to focus on that it takes any sort of enjoyment out of actually playing the game.
Yeah, so... not to mention, I wasn't attracted to any of the female characters that you could romance. Like, I was just like, ugh, gross.
Yeah. Well, speaking of characters that had good games this year.
Yeah, because EA has this thing about no pretty women ever. We can't make pretty women anymore because feminism or whatever. And so that was, unfortunately, I don't think I played any games that were released in 2020. That were bad. I just played that this year because it was cheap, and even though it was cheap, I was like, I'm not keeping this on my computer. Did anybody play Among Us?
I played a few times.
Hard, bro.
We were so close to filling up our ten person slot.
We only can get like 7 or 8 people, and it's really annoying. It's like we need 10. Oh, a game to add to the list of what I hated playing this year, and I know Andrew's going to roll his eyes because I only played it for maybe 30 minutes or so before I got sick of it, was Elite Dangerous.
Oh, well, I haven't even played it myself yet, so...
Right, but Will and Seth, like, some of our other mutual friends were kind of like, what'd you say it was? Like some sort of RPG, or like realistic driving ship game or whatever. And I was like, it is just too hard to steer the freaking ship. Like, how am I supposed to play the game? Like, it's I cannot stabilize it.
It's not a game for normies. It's a game for people who
want to do that. Want to be out
like
in space.
Really like transporting cargo through through their sci-fi spaceship in a realistic way.
I'm glad you're calling me a normie. I guess I'll accept that title with a crown.
Well, I mean, I haven't played it yet. I don't even know if I like it. Like, I can't imagine that I might like a space flying simulator. I don't know. I just don't know.
I also played a game that came out a long time ago, but I got it this year, and I got it on a Steam sale, and then I returned it immediately, which was Sunset Overdrive. Actually, the game's amazing. I really like the game. It's fun and it's comical, humorous, but there's a game breaking bug that when you save your game, it crashes. So the port to the PC on Steam is actually unplayable. It's literally unplayable.
How funny that a PC port gets an unplayable port from consoles and nobody cares. Oh my gosh, so weird.
Well, you know, people did care when Gotham Knight was unplayable on the PC.
That's true. Let me tell you about my number one game of the year, though, which you're all going to be so surprised.
Tetris 99.
No, it's Tetris Effect.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh man, Tetris Effect. And the reason why I got it this year, it's on the EA store. I got it for $10 through all like the Christmas deals and discounts and stuff like that. But if you haven't played Tetris Effect, so every time you drop a block or turn something, it creates a music note, and you play music by dropping blocks in Tetris, and then it plays a song in the background. Depending on how many lines you've burned, it progresses in the song. And so when you get to the end of the song, you get to the end of the level. And I bought it this year because Tetris Connected came out on the Xbox exclusively, and it's being released for free on the Epic Store version in summer 2021. So I bought it for the PC, and like it's like it puts you in a state of zen when you play it, because it is so entrancing. And it's legitimately, and you can play it in VR too, but it's legitimately the best iteration. Yeah, it's legitimately the best iteration of modern Tetris that I've played. And even Tetris Connected for the Xbox right now, and soon going to be this, has a classic Tetris World Championship mode in it, so that it actually has classic NES Tetris in a competitive version on the new version that comes out. So they're bringing back classic Tetris in Tetris Effect. So this is officially the best version of Tetris that's ever been released.
Nice.
Buy it. And for the first time, I actually got to stream Tetris, and all of my gaming friends got to watch me play how I play Tetris. And everybody's like, oh my God.
You look like a professional playing, and you're like, I'm not even close. And I'm like, dude, you're just like, da, 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 da.
Yeah, Jonathan's pretty good with them smashing blocks.
The Washington Capitals just signed Chara.
No.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get distracted.
Dude,
but
I know this is an unedited podcast, but I don't understand if people understand how earth-shattering that is to us. Well, and especially to me, because the Washington Capitals is my second favorite team. So like, there's the Bruins that Char is not on anymore, and that I love watching the Washington Capitals. So.
Oh, and they just traded away your second favorite player.
Yeah, like they just traded away my player to the other team that I like to watch, but it's not the Bruins. Oh no.
The only good news for me is that we finally get to see Bergeron with a C on his jersey.
Well deserved. Cam Neely's gonna have to hit the ice again in order to take up that spot.
Can he?
Hey, how listen, old they, is put, he? They put Jaeger on the ice. So
yeah.
Jaeger.
Jeremy Yager.
Should we wrap up? By the way, I feel like this is a good.
We probably should. We've been doing this. We've been doing this for about 2 hours now, so
I have dinner plans.
Yeah, over at my house.
Are we gonna tell Greg that we're wrapping up?
Yeah. Oh man, I don't know,
Greg. Just, we can't see you anymore. We lost Greg's film footage. You guys won't see this, but we know Greg. We know Greg disappeared.
Oh, yeah. This was good to do again. But I'm hoping if you're listening to this recording right now as it's being released, this should only be a couple of days from when we recorded it. So you all should be pretty up to date and recent with us. And I hope that for those of you who are looking forward to this podcast are looking forward to talking about it, or looking forward to, you know, listening to it. And we will try to do more of these, but we're still officially on hiatus, just so that you don't get your hopes up.
Yeah, but this was our year in instead of doing the wikis, we wanted to do an end of year show with us for you guys specifically, just to kind of catch up. What was our year like? What did we do? What kind of entertainment did we watch? Did we watch any anime? No.
I did.
Yeah, Evan did.
Which Evan's still the only one officially employed.
Somebody has to.
Yeah.
Oh, there's Greg.
Like, it's funny because the one time like I try to do a podcast with you guys, like my phone never blows up, and then like throughout the episode I've been getting calls and texts, and I'm like, now.
Yeah.
Oh, so please fill me in.
Really, we're quick. wrapping up.
Okay.
So, anybody have any last parting words to say before we finish up?
Well, this has been a stressful year for a lot of people. And I just want to say, hang in there, everybody. Look, hopefully within the next, you know, year or so, it's going to come to an end, and let's have a bright 2021. I know. I want to experience a Sabaton concert.
Yeah, dude, freaking Greg. I introduced him to power metal this year, and he's just like, oh, like Sabaton is awesome. I was like, remember when I invited you like literally a year ago to come to the Sabaton concert with us, and you were like, no.
He's just like, I know. I'm sad now. Because I fell in love with, like, I forget which album specifically had a lot of songs I loved, but man, Fields of Verdun. Let's go.
So that's Great War. Yeah. Which they are working on a new one right now.
Yeah, there's a new album coming out in 2021.
Excellent. I
can't. Yeah. We gotta pull Derek into the power metal too.
Come on, Derek, join us. Rock on, brother.
So we'll spare everybody. We'll spare everybody the shameless plugs at the end of the recording, because I'm pretty sure everybody who's listening has been listening to us only for a long time.
Like, just however, I will pitch Solarian Sun.
Solariansun.com.
So if you go to Solarian Sun, go to solariansun.com to read my comic for free, and then of course you can hit me up on Facebook at AFLM and Instagram at AFLMArt, and my Patreon page /AFLM to subscribe and get, dude, I'm over 100 pages ahead of the free stuff. So if you guys want a subscription based service that's super worth it, and you want to support me and my webcomic as an artist, if you go to patreon.com/AFLM, you get 100+ pages of new stuff.
Also, the story's getting really good too. So I think after chapter 6 hit the nail on the coffin of making it really a good time to jump on board to the rest of the comic. And I know this is a little biased coming from myself, but I am a heavy supporter of the comic, not only because my brother is making it, but because it's really good. Yeah. So.
Well, we finally broken out of the intro arc. So now the story and the universe and the world are now introduced to us between chapters 0 and 6. So now I'm on chapter 8, and we're being introduced to new characters. We're being introduced to basically the continuing story ahead of us as we try to fight the evil that is Christoff. So let's
and
go.
And gurgling stomachs.
Yeah, no gurgling stomachs, which is an inside joke now that none of you understand, but we are laughing about it, haha, because it's great.
Yeah. And you know, I know 2020 has been very crazy outside the world, but there are some things that this year I have accomplished that I never thought I would not only be able to do, but also enjoy doing. Like, I'm now teaching English to Japanese students online,
Whoosh.
Which will hopefully lead to this coming summer, me going to Japan to teach English over the summertime.
Wow.
In person.
That's been your dream for a long time, Evan. That's great.
What part of Japan and when?
So it's a part of Japan, a small area called Mino, which is near Nagoya. And we'll probably be either July or August.
Okay, because I also might be going to Japan to teach comics, to teach comic books in Osaka, Japan, in June, around the time of the Olympics.
Damn! All right.
Wow, they're still
know more about that.
Yeah, the plan is for them to do the Olympics in 2021, the summer of 2021.
All right.
So.
Yeah. My accomplishments include finally getting past 2,500 hours in Skyrim.
Yeah!
What? Sweet God,
dude,
bro.
No. You became the manager of the store for at least 2 weeks.
Yeah!
True. It was 3 weeks.
How long?
And now he's back and he's like, if you wanted salary, how much do you think you should get? I'm like, oh, we're having this conversation? Okay.
Yeah. Hey!
There you go.
It's a good conversation.
Enough to let me live comfortably.
Yes.
I don't know. How much does Starbucks have?
$1 trillion.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have been watching all the old James Bond movies on YouTube Movies for free. Apparently for
I didn't know if they were on there.
So I started like right from the beginning. I just finished Goldfinger. So next one is...
Dr. No?
Thunder something? Thunder.
Thunderball.
Thunderball, yes.
Oh, really? I thought it was From Russia with Love afterwards.
That was the second one, I think.
Dr. No was the first James Bond movie.
Okay, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Very good.
Yeah, so I got that going for me.
And I might be doing a little bit more with Show of Boston in the near future. The live stream that I did for the during the beginning of December was seen as a very big success. And the Show of Boston president was saying that hopefully we could do more of that in the future. So I never dreamt of actually hosting an official event for Show of Boston. And for the people there to say that I did a great job with that really meant a lot as someone who has a lot of social anxiety and nervousness when he's doing live stuff. So I'm so grateful to actually have a lot of these opportunities happening for me right now. So
good for you, man.
Yeah.
See, 2020 is a great year. We just gotta. Mm-hmm. You just gotta pick those silver linings.
Mm-hmm. And I think I have plenty of silver linings to pick from.
Hell yeah!
Good. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to us, and I'm glad that for those of you who did return to listen, returned at all. You'll see us online, I'm sure. We're
in 2021.
We're not out of here completely. So enjoy your 2021, and you'll hear from us. You'll
hear from us.
You'll hear from us. You will.
We got your number, so we'll call you.
Yeah.
But you can call us. You can call us. It's fine. You guys can find us on the internet everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
We'll keep you as a reference.
We can answer Discord if you want to find us. Just message us. We're around.
Yeah. All right, y'all. Time to sign off the only way we know how. K-bye.
K-bye.
Not that girl. No.
I have to. It's unedited.
Well, I thought this is great, like doing some sort of robot. We got to release the video of this as well.
They would just be like, if they watch the video, it's like, oh, four faces in Andrew's hand for 2 hours.
Yeah, I'm drawing, bro.
Can you even look back at it? Can you even see what I'm drawing?
Yeah, you can see you can kind of see it. Yeah,
see some lines.
Mm-hmm. It's a lot of white exposure, if that's the...
I can't even see it. No, that's fine.
By the way, I'm glad I finally get to see you using your cam. I'm so happy, and I don't even get to see your face.
Yeah, and it didn't crash.
Yeah, I love that Google Hangout doesn't crash. That is my favorite part of Google Hangout. Because Zoom is also our Chinese spyware that we all just willingly installed. So.
And TikTok.
Yep. So much Chinese spyware this year. It's so great. It's all for free. Like, who would have thought? It's like, oh man, we just collect all of it. Do you have the complete set? TikTok, Genshin Impact, Zoom.
Second thing that's viral from China this year.
Oh, that's awful.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.